Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Suzanne, and I'm here with you at Blog Talk Radio. We're New Beginnings Ministries, and our shows begin again. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, eager to discuss, to digest, to devour, to explore the Word of God. This evening, we have a special guest with us, who will be speaking to us from New Jersey, who comes well-schooled, very knowledgeable, who will share with us. But before I introduce him, let's open with prayer. Father God, we thank you for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the medium of radio and computer blog talk radio, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that every ear, Father God, that hears this message this evening, Father God, will be blessed by it, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that the seeds will be planted tonight, Father God. Seeds, Father God, and curiosities, Father God, will be encouraged, Father God, that those that know you, Father God, will desire to grow closer to you, Father God, and develop an intimate relationship with you. And those that don't know you, Father God, will find a need to come to know you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these seeds that are planted. We thank you, Lord, that your biblical principle is, Father God, that as seeds are planted, that they are produced, that the plant, what comes from it, will produce both kind. And that, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the plenty, for the abundance, Father God, that it won't just be one, it'll be more than one. So to the multitudes that will listen, to the word that will go forth, we thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless our speaker, Father God, to speak to him and through him in Jesus' sweet and holy name. In his holy name. Well, tonight, our teaching is coming from Minister James Gary, and he will be using the book of, begin with the book of Hebrews. The scripture tonight is, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That's Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our speaker before we go into the Word. This is Brother James Gary. He is certified in prayer ministry through Elijah House School for Prayer Ministry. He's in the class of 2012. Congratulations on that. And that is out of Calvary Temple International in Wayne, New Jersey. He is a member of Christ Church in Montclair, New Jersey, and his religion, of course, is Christian, praise God, and he attends a non-denominational church. A little background on Brother James is that he grew up in Catholicism. He was even an altar boy, but later in his life, the Lord called him out of religiosity and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He uses a lot of Hebrew in his speaking. For instance, in his description of his background, he says, out of religiosity into a relationship with Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, and I'm hoping that he will help me with the pronunciation since I have a little Midwest and Southern accent there, with the Father Jehovah or Yahweh. So, let's introduce Brother James. Brother James, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, hello.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. I'm very, very eager. I have my notebook ready, my Bible, and my pen ready to take notes and to get into this word, bitter root, tracing from fruit to the root. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you.
Excellent, excellent. Amen, amen. And I actually I received that prayer, and I received all that you said tonight so far. And I just wanted to just speak a blessing over the listeners quickly, and then we'll go right into the teaching. So, Jehovah Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord God. We thank you for the airways that you have established, Lord, that your word may be salt and light and truth, Lord, to those that are listening. Lord God, we ask that you will dispatch your mightiest warning angels, Lord, and just hover over each and every household, Lord God, that's within the distance of my voice and the hearing of my voice, Lord God. Lord God, let your name be exalted, Lord God. Let your will be done on this night, Lord God. Let the seeds that are planted touch each and every heart, Lord God, that the chains that the enemy has people bound by will be broken, Lord God, and that they will be set free, Lord God. So, Lord God, we plead the blood of Jesus over this call. We thank you for this ministry, Lord, and this opportunity, Lord God, to set free those that are captive, Lord God, to free the mind, Lord God, the minds of those that have been in despair or just broken in spirit, Lord God. But we know that you are receiving of those that are contrite heart and broken spirit, Lord God, that you will rebuild a temple, Lord God, not made by human hands, but that will be blessed by your name. So we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you this night. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Yes,
amen.
Amen. Tonight's teaching is based on a teaching from Elijah House. And Elijah House is a ministry which basically is designed to set people free, set the captives free. And I've worked with Reverend D, who actually was taught by Reverend D through this class, and she's an avid teacher and instructor, and it is a teaching ministry which it yields fruit and good fruit. Now, the purpose of this teaching is just to talk a little bit about some of the things that you see, some of the things that you know are not quite right. You just can't put your finger on what might be causing it. We see the calamity. All you have to do is turn on the news. You see calamity happening. You see and you hear all of the disasters and disasters on top of the disasters. I think just recently there were shootings and things that happened. And without reason, we don't know why these guys go into movie theaters and start shooting. And if you just listen to the news, it just seems to happen more and more. And tonight's teaching is expected to give you insight into some of the things, some of the repeat occurrences that happen in our own lives. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that the people perish, that God says, my people perish due to lack of knowledge. And if you don't know, you can't change those patterns that cause you problems and calamities. And we most often see them in our relationships. our relationships with our parents, or lack thereof, or relationships with spouses or boyfriend, girlfriend, things like that. We can't quite put a finger on what is actually causing the problems and the calamities, but we know that happened because we see the results. We see the results in terms of teen pregnancy. We see it in terms of broken homes. And this is not the desire of our Lord. Our Lord does not wish for us to live in bondage, but he wants us to be free. So that's the purpose of this teaching tonight. And I pray that the Lord will speak through me and to each and every person on this call, and that is in the sound of my voice. And I believe that there will be a portion where they can actually call in. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. That's available. Good. Again, the phone number is 347-237-4054. Or you can listen in on the computer at Blog Talk Radio, New Beginnings Ministry. Thank you.
Right. And our goal tonight is to restore the Christian family. As God called me out of what we call religiosity, what religiosity is just a big technical word to mean that you follow traditions, and traditions tend to end up taking priority or precedence over having a direct relationship with God. And God, he birthed us with this connection to him, and he wishes and desires to have that. And we believe that he sent his one and only begotten Son to earth to die for our sins, to free us. And this will all come through a relationship with the Father through Christ. So that is the goal, and should be your goal, and your goal for your life is to just have that relationship renewed and restored. The enemy tends to want to remind us of the things that we do wrong, but notice that we never find out from the enemy why those things are happening and how those patterns are happening. We just get the convictions. So tonight, may the Lord set you free. Now, we start off tonight, Sudan, talking about the bitter root. Bitter root. Bitterness, of course, as you read in the opening scripture, is something that can spring up or spring forth in our life. And every time a bitter root or bitterness springs up in our life, there's going to be fruit. As you know, many psychologists are out there. They make a lot of money. And I will call psychologists more or less fruit pickers, because what they do is, as this bitterness springs up in life, in terms of life problems and life struggles, people will go to them, and they will slowly but surely pick off the bad fruit. And that bad fruit is something that if you don't get it at the root, it will continue to happen. So you'll go through a series of cycles where you have, say, for instance, depression, and that would be a fruit. But there is something that is at the root of that depression. That's what Christ came to free us and to make us aware of, so that we would truly be free, and that fruit that bitterness will no longer come up in terms of fruit in our lives. Now, in Matthew 7:17, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and it says here that every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Interesting trace of words that Matthew used there, but that is directly analogous with the teaching tonight, because the bad fruit, you can consider that the events, the things that we see happening, and we say that is a bad thing. Those things that kind of make you go, wow, why did that happen? And it, oftentimes the questions come up. And when those questions come up, it's because we see something that was derived from a bitterness. So mm-hmm. When we speak, we have to ask questions. And the first question is, what are bitter roots? What are bitter roots? And we define bitter roots, or we characterize bitter roots by a few things or a few words. First off, bitter roots are results of our sinful reactions to hurt. There are things that happen to us in life. We don't have much control over the things that happen to us that are bad, just as sometimes we don't have control over the good things that happen to us. You know, sometimes these things happen to us, and we don't have control over them. But what we do have control over is our reactions to those things that happen to us. And it's a choice. We can choose to react negatively, we can choose to learn from it and react positively, or we can choose to press it down and forget about it. The thing is, that's where the bitter root seeks, it finds its fertile soil in our hearts, when we suppress these things and press them deep down and forget about them. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't forget. And the enemy knows that they're there, and he comes back to press into that person and to cause calamity to occur in their life. And in the lives of their children, and their children's children. So yeah. The purpose is to break these things. Critical condemning judgments of people. Oftentimes you can judge somebody, and that judgment is from a bitter root. It is a bitterness. It is a bitterness that's in your heart that caused you to judge. Another thing is a refusal or inability to forgive someone. Forgiveness, unforgiveness, it causes disease. In fact, Psychology Today published an article talking about unforgiveness and the roots of it, and the fact that it's linked to many, many diseases. And it is very important that we recognize that unforgiveness is a direct link to bitterness. It's directly linked to bitterness. The important thing about roots, too, is that not only do these bitterness or bitter roots affect our lives, but they have the power to defile many, including ourselves, of course, and it causes us to drink poison instead of the nourishment. God designed us as in his image, and due to the fact that we're designed in his image, we have very good attributes. Creation, we can create things. We can create things to do things to make our lives easier. And when we have a direct connection with the Father through Christ, we are able to receive nourishment from him. So when you think about bitter roots, or you think about this discussion on bitter roots, I want you to picture in your mind, make a mental picture, or if you have a plant in your house, that's even better than a mental picture, because you can look at a plant and you can see that it'll have a stalk, it'll have leaves, and beneath the soil it has roots. But the only way that you know that the roots are there is if you dig them up. And that's when you know you can confirm that they're actually there. So we presume that those roots are there beneath the soil. So same thing happens in life. When you see things happening, you know, the murderous which have a root in judgment, and when that judgment is carried out, it causes disaster and even death. Now the Bible teaches us that about the tongue. The Bible teaches us about the tongue. And in Proverbs 18:21, it tells us, and I'll read, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, we see fruit being spoken of here, fruit. So with that picture of the tree and the leaves, and we know that in season that fruit will be produced so that plant or that tree can reproduce in its time. Now, when we go to psychologists and things of that nature, they will pick that fruit off of that tree, which is the bad fruit. But because they're not identifying with the actual root cause of the problems that we're seeing manifested in the person's life or in our lives, it ends up being a situation where we never really solve the problem. And if it continues to go on, the person will most likely lose hope and even stop going to the psychologist and take matters into their own hands. But see, the Father wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him for that healing, for that inner healing. And without knowing that these roots exist that are feeding these bad things that are happening in our lives, we continue just to go on in despair. And Jesus came to break us from that. Now, it's important to know that roots operate according to the unchangeable laws of God, which are basically sowing and reaping. And sowing and reaping are basically defined by Webster. You say sowing is defined as planting, where you're planting a seed into fertile soil. Reaping is just defined as taking up the fruit or the good thing that comes up out of that soil once that plant has matured. So in our lives, these same principles apply. It works. These principles are at work all the time, every day, because they work based on the laws of God. So they will never cease to work. So this is important in that what we plant, we have to be very careful what we plant in the lives and hearts of other people through our actions. Likewise, we have to be very careful of what we allow to be planted in our hearts. So if we turn to Galatians 6:7, we'll learn a little bit more about what God's law does. So if you can turn to Galatians 6:7, chapter 6, verse 7. And what does God say about this? God says that, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he also will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So it's important to know that this is a law that God has put in place. And whether, you know, you can, some people don't choose to believe that these laws are at work. But it's important to realize that if we look at our own lives, we see them at work every day. So I have that as in terms of definition of what these roots basically are. Now let's talk about for a moment what bitter roots are not. Bitter roots are not those hurtful things or terrible things, even terrible things that happen to us, nor are they the sins of those who wronged us or the things that they missed the mark on. And a sin is nothing more than something that you missed the mark on, meaning that God intended for your life to be great. And there may have been choices that you made that caused you to not have such a great life in certain areas or certain areas or things or conditions in your life. But again, remember that it's not God's desire for these things to be in our life. So that's what a sin is. It's basically missing the mark. And that is God's mark, what His plan is, which is to give us good things. And oftentimes, what ends up happening is that we miss the mark because we become reactive. So it's very important never to be reactive. I remember years ago I had a manager that told me once, never write a communication in anger. So if someone hurts you or harms you emotionally or mentally, even in the workplace, it's at work, never, even if you're angry, and remember, the Bible tells us, if you're angry, it's okay, be angry, but don't sin. So sending an email when you're angry or a letter when you're angry oftentimes will cause us to fall into these bitter root syndromes because it's us being reactive. So again, bitter roots are not the hurtful or terrible things that happen to us, nor the sins of those who have wronged us. the important thing is that we can defile another person, people around us. And the best way to describe a defilement, in fact, I think I have a definition here that is out of the Webster's, the Merriam-Webster's version of the dictionary. And to defile, it says to make unclean or impure, as to corrupt the purity or perfection, to violate the chastity of, to make physically unclean, especially with something unpleasant or contaminating. I like to look at it because I have a background in the sciences as a sample that you have that was clean, or something as simple as water that got contaminated with dirt. A good way to look at it, though, in layman's terms, is have you ever been in a room, it could even be in a motor vehicle, and a certain person comes into that room and you can almost feel the atmosphere in that room change before the person even said a word?
Yes.
That is known as defilement. So it essentially, that can happen in a room with people that person does not even know. So the same thing can apply to our churches, to our homes. So say, for instance, in a church situation, if there's a pastor or person that's working in the ministry that is living in active sin, even though the congregation may not know about it, or even though the people in their household, their wives, their children may not know about it, what happens is it will cause what we call defilement to happen in that home, in that church. So what will happen is those same types of activities will start to happen in the lives of the children, of the people within the ministry, and everyone be looking around not understanding why, and that will be why, because you can actually defile someone with these bitter roots, because they have the power of overcoming, because they operate under God's laws. They have the power of overcoming even free will. So if you've ever been in a relationship or anything where a person, you know, you're with that person, but you're doing things that you know normally you would not do. You're like, why am I doing these things? This is not me. And, again, it could be defilement. So that defilement could be coming from the other person to you, or you could be defiling that other person. Usually it happens both ways. So it's bitter roots can easily defile the people that we come in contact with. And it goes kind of along the lines of the apple. A bad apple can spoil the bunch. That's the way it comes across. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions?
No questions yet.
Okay.
If you have a question about callers, if you have a question, press number 1, and I'll know to cue you in. You do have people that are listening online, Brother James, but no one has asked to speak just yet.
Okay. Excellent. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in terms of bitter roots, they have a source, and typically the source is in our childhood. Because these things operate by God's laws, they can be passed down from generation to generation through our children. So the parents, because of that situation that I mentioned of defilement and what God mentions in his word, that this defilement can pass through to children. It's no different than...
I think we have a question.
Oh, sure.
I think we have a question. Area code 216, do you have a question?
Just a commentary. Anyway, as being Christians, we have to be very careful about our actions, and we speak a bitter root, you know, some things we're going to have control over and some things we're not, but we do have a choice of how we're going to react to various items or circumstances that become behold our lives.
Yes, amen. That is true. We do. And that is the truth. We have complete and 100% responsibility for what we do about what happened to us. And the way that we act, or react in this case, we could actually cause sin and more calamity to happen to us. So you're innocent. You know, harm came to you or hurt came to you. You're innocent, and God sees that, and he will bless you. But he will bless you and heal you. And whatever came against you for your favor, but it's important that you remember what God said. He said, "It's angry, be angry, but do not sin. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath." And the reason for that is that by letting the sun go down on your wrath, you actually bury that anger. And it's like putting things into meat and vegetables and things into a crock pot or pressure cooker. And you press them down, and that it just cooks, and it pressurizes, and it cooks. And then when it finally comes out as a major, major argument, or in worst-case scenario, violence or self-hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So very good point, caller. Okay, so bitter roots, as we know, they can be passed from generation to generation to our children because the parents can defile the children, and then the children can defile even other children. And not only that, but they can make judgments, and they can actually judge their parents. In many cases, we do. We judge our parents or may have judged our parents at very, very young ages and forgot about it. But remember, even though you don't remember, you're still liable because it's based, because these bitter roots are based on God's law. And
mm-hmm.
It's important that we get knowledge, but most importantly that we get understanding. So
Amen.
Once we understand, we can be freed from the bondage of these things. So it's a very important, and it may sound somewhat harsh, but there's a reason for everything. Remember, God uses it, all things, for the good of those that love him. So keep that in mind, that although these things happen, and it happened, this teaching is very important because it's things that so many people do not know. And what does the Bible tell us? It tells us, actually, let me see if I can go to chapter. And in John 8:32, Jesus tells us that it's the truth that you know, that will set you free. So many people get that scripture wrong. They say that the truth will set you free. We walk around truth every day. Whether and the fact that we don't know that it's truth doesn't allow us to reap the benefit of that truth. So this is why it's very important to continue to seek not just knowledge, but understanding. And God's law, which Newton based many of his scientific studies on, I think it was his third law, was basically based on God's principle of reaping and sowing. And that principle basically speaks about for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So from a scientific standpoint, that's God's law being proved out. But that particular principle that Newton used kind of falls short, and I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. I'll come back to that. But we're going to get to the roots of these bitter roots. And what happens is, we mentioned the thing about the parents defiling the children. It could be arguments that the parents have, the mother arguing with the father, and perhaps that child, because the mother tends to give the child more of what they want in terms of what they need in terms of nurturing, or in some cases it could be the father tends to establish a reward system for that child. What can happen is that child can gravitate towards the parent, the one parent versus the other parent. And in a sense, the parent that they do not gravitate towards, in their hearts they make a judgment against that parent. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew 7:1-2, again, this is the NAS version, it says, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the same way you judge, for the same way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you.
Mm-hmm.
So as a child, because we have very young minds when we're children and we're not fully developed, we soon forget about the judgment that we made against the parent. And the way you see this playing out in the teens and in adulthood is that that child continues to go to one parent. When they have a problem, they'll go to one parent and not go to the other parent. And the parent would end up feeding that by going to the child instead of going to the husband, or the husband going to the child instead of going to the wife. So in a sense, it puts that child right in the middle, or in somewhat, and feeds that judgment. So that child is, since they're very formative at those very early and young ages, they learn from that, and they continue to feed on that as they go through life. And as Galatians 6:7 said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Okay, so we remember that. It's important to remember that. Because we, as we get into adulthood, we reap what we sowed as in our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole teaching that I can do at a later time on honor. Because when we judge one parent over the other parent, we dishonor the parent that we judged. Mm. And dishonor, again, it comes from these bitter judgments that happen even as children.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that child continues to grow and has a wounded heart against one parent. So it tends to continue on in their life. And Romans 2:1-2 tells us, therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. So again, these things are based on his law. Now, we'll step a little bit away from the law-based bitter roots, and we'll go into what we call bitter root expectancies. Now, because of the pattern of these judgments and these roots, bitter roots that we establish at these very early ages, we develop habits or trends in our lives where those practice attitudes and ways of thinking. And then when people reject those things, reject us because of those judgments playing out as they play out in our lives, because they feel themselves being defiled. So sometimes it results in them rejecting us, broken relationships as adults. A lot of times it plays out that way. And what happens is, based on those patterns, which were based on those judgments that we set as children, it tends to play out in what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that child, now as an adult, starts to, in their minds, starts to say things to themselves and in fact, infects their own mind with what we call bitter root expectancies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So bitter root expectancies, that's the area, believe it or not, that most psychologists deal in. And it's the reason why these many adults never get their full healing, the healing that God wants them to, because they try to do it through the secular means. And that's not to say the secular means don't have their place, but what I'm saying is that they cannot replace the Spirit of God in the person's life. And they cannot effectively remove those roots that are the causes of these things, or cycles that happen in a person's life. So bitter root expectancies are generally based on the specific judgments that are most often found against father and mother. And I'll give you some examples. As an adult, a child may a male child may say to may have judged the mother, because the mother may have been the critical one and the father was the one that the child went to. They may say things like, women will always be critical because they had a critical parent or a parent that they judged as being critical. In the case of a female child, if it was a single parent home, the child may have judged the parent that wasn't even in the home and may say something like, men can't be depended upon. And some self-inflicted ones would be such sayings as, no one ever listens to me. So these are psychological expectancies that we place in our own minds that just feeding off of those bitter root judgments that we made in our hearts as children. So it's important to understand that connection. And one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, where do we find judgments and expectancies? And because of the laws of sowing and reaping, bitterroot judgments and expectancies are most often happen and or play out in our relationships to our parents and our spouses. So these things are developed, like I said, in our early foundational years, and it can be passed down even from grandparents to children. So it is a very dangerous cycle, and it leads to criminal activity, criminal behavior, disillusionment from God because they don't understand God. In fact, many people judge God based on these things and tend to think that God is like the parent that they made the judgment against. So these are very, very dangerous cycles that cause us to reap things in our lives. But the beautiful thing about the psychological portion or the fruit portion is because they don't operate based on God's laws, meaning that it's based on self-talk and we can convince ourselves of anything, because it's based on self-talk, they're easier to solve if you can get to the root. So we have to look at situations in our lives. And the easiest way to identify a cycle in our lives is to say, okay, let me see. Evaluate your life, if you're older, Jen or woman, in the last 10 years. Things that seem to have cycled and continue to happen, whether it be go from job to job, relationship to relationship, financial crisis to financial crisis, and that is the fruit, okay? But there is something that's below the surface, and that can be found by searching your heart. And not only searching your heart, but searching your heart through prayer. Because Amen. The Holy Spirit, if you ask God, he will reveal these things to you.
Amen.
So if you're seeing these broken situations in your lives, you should know that these are not, and I'm here to tell you today that these are not the plans of God for your life. These are not the plans of God for your life. So if we can turn to Jeremiah 29:11, and Suzanne, I will ask that you read that.
Sure. Jeremiah 29:11 from the Living Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope."
Awesome. So here we find, again, the truth of God. But if we never understand that truth, or we have no knowledge of that truth, if we don't accept that truth, then we are accepting a lie. Because that God tells us in plain English there that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us.
Amen.
So if we judge the Lord and judge people, we're basically not believing God. So we're not trusting God. And we turn ourselves over to the law. And it's important that I mention that I know it may be somewhat disheartening right now to hear, but we live in a very legal universe, not only a legal society, because remember, our society, many of the laws that are in place in our society are based on God's laws. So because it was taken from God's law, we can deduce that we live in a legal universe. We know that there are laws such as the law of gravity. We don't have to believe it exists for it to exist. That's the beautiful thing about a law and God, the way that God designed things. We don't have to believe it exists in order for us to reap either the rewards from it existing or the pain from it existing. Take, for instance, in terms of the law of gravity. If a person, whether he believes it or not, if he doesn't believe the law of gravity, it's very easy to just, you know, if that person were to do something like drop a glass, that glass would break whether he believed in the law of gravity or not when it hit the floor, depending on where it dropped from and things. So those laws exist whether we believe they do or not. So we do live in the legal universe. And because of that, there are laws that bind us because of the fact that they exist. So important to understand that we are accountable for our own sin no matter what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that have been abused or physically, mentally, or even sexually. And despite that abuse that happened to us, we're not accountable for what they did to us, but we are accountable for what we do in response to that. If we take, for instance, the law in our own hands, again, we're not believing God because God tells us that the vengeance is mine. God tells us vengeance is mine. He says, I will repay. So the way I describe it is, why pay twice for a bad thing that happened to you? Why pay once when it's because that bad thing happened, and then twice by making a judgment and not only making that judgment but carrying out an action because of that judgment? Why suffer twice for the same sin? Why suffer twice?
Sometimes people that have grown up with, like, deep woundings, they feel that they have the right to be judgmental or the right to hate, the right to be unforgiving because of what they went through. As adults and especially Christian adults, we understand that it's the unforgiveness that brings the healing, that deep wounding. I'm going to ask, is there anyone else who would like to ask a question of Brother James? If you would just press 1 on your phone, that'll alert me that you have something to say. We have someone from area code 352. Let's hear from area code 352.
Wait.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I just got on the line recently, but he was talking. I was wondering what the definition of judgment is. What is judgment?
Okay. Well, there are two things to understand. Okay, we're taught by God to discern, and the judgment typically comes from the flesh, from a fleshly decision that's based on bitterness. Discernment comes from a direct link with God, and it's that voice that you hear that says, oh, you shouldn't do that, oh, you shouldn't do this, whereas judgment is something that comes from, I'm doing this because this happened to me. So the discernment, the desire or the root of the heart is understanding, whereas judgment is a desire to get even. The root of that in the heart is to get even, to make someone else pay for what happened to you. And what happens is that festers and that causes what we call unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness festers and that causes illness. And that illness can be played out in many ways. There will be people, I mean, in the classes that have been taught in Elijah House, there have been so many that have been set free. Illnesses such as arthritis, people have been set free from that. Heart conditions, meaning actual, the fleshly heart, the actual heart that beats. Diseases of the heart, different issues with pains in the neck, pains in the joints, inflammations, all these things have roots in unforgiveness. And in many cases, the person does not know that they have the unforgiveness in their heart because they pressed it down so far. They pressed it so down so far in their heart, and they forgot about it. And it may have been something that happened as a child. But remember, God wishes that none shall fall short of the kingdom. He wants us all to come in, and he wants us all to live in freedom. And the truth that we know will set us free. And Jesus came to give us those truths. To set us free. And the price was already paid. All that we have or that we owe anyone that has harmed us is unforgiveness. Because that unforgiveness can block us even from the blessings of God.
That's right.
You understand? I mean, you know the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
The Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There it is right there. So when you recite the Lord's Prayer, you're basically saying to God, forgive me as I have forgiven those that have harmed me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So judgment is when you discernment is knowing what's going on, what it is, what a thing really is, and judgment is like when you want to, most of the time it's condemnation involved. That's when you want to condemn a person for doing you wrong.
Exactly.
You want to add condemnation to it.
It has it's laced with bitterness, yes.
And resentment.
Okay. Resentment.
Uh-huh.
And what it does, the reason why this prayer is so powerful and many people recite it and don't realize what they're saying, remember, he says, my people perish. There are two things that God tells us distinctly that we perish because of. It is lack of knowledge, okay, and lack of vision. Lack of vision. Well, if you don't know a thing, you can't see a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see these?
Right.
So it's very important. Again, the reason why God has you here tonight is to be set free. And remember, Christ came to us. He didn't deserve to be on the cross, but he came and he took it. He bore it for us. So now we can find our rest in the fact that he took this from us. He took the bondage and the pain and the condemnation. Remember, we are guilty. Because of Christ, we are guilty but not condemned. And it's important that guilt is the friend which brings us to the cross. And at the cross, we receive healing and transformation. And transformation is just a word to say we get a new mind. We think differently. See, this battle that we're fighting is a battle for our minds. You see, the guy that airing of Batman, the guy that went in there with a gun and just started shooting people, no rhyme, no reason. Again, when people do things like that, they're doing them because they don't have that connection. They're missing something in their lives, and they are angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry, and they're carrying out a judgment in their own hand. And when we do that, what we do is we deny God. We deny God the ability to be God and do what he said he would do. If he's who he said he is, we must allow him to do what he said he would do in our lives. And that is the promises of Abraham in our lives. Because just as that plant exists and we are grafted in, remember, he said first the Jew and then the Gentile. We're grafted into the kingdom, the same bloodline, through Christ. So all of the promises of Abraham, we have 100% access to. 100% access to. But it's important. Forgiveness is really the key. And forgiveness, it doesn't make sense. Forgiveness does not make sense. Because if someone hurts you, it seems like it makes sense to hurt them back, right? It does not make sense. But something doesn't have to make sense for it to be true. Again, remember this said about gravity. You know, it exists. It doesn't make sense, you know. You know, I should be able to fly like a bird. It doesn't make sense, but it exists. If I jump out of a window, I will not fly. I will fall. So it doesn't make sense. It seems like we should. But the important thing to know is that there is God. God is on the throne. We have to let him be on the throne of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
On the throne of our lives. And we have to turn it all over to him. Because, again, Jeremiah.
Go ahead.
29-11.
We have another caller on the line. I didn't mean to interrupt you mid-sentence. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Area code 631, do you have a question or
yes.
Do you want to ask something?
I just wanted to add, as the teacher was speaking about forgiveness, I like that about the Lord's Prayer. And one thing about forgiveness and reciting that Lord's Prayer or saying it out loud is even if you don't feel that forgiveness in you, when you're saying that, that word becomes powerful. And it as you continue to say it and say it, you'll find that, because I've experienced that my own self, you'll find that that bitterness and that anger has dissipated. You know, it's gone. As you continue to say, because the word is so powerful.
Amen.
Forgive them as they, as you've forgiven me, Father, let me forgive them also. And
yes,
as we continue to say that and say that, the word becomes life, and we become free.
Right.
And he that the Son has set free is free indeed.
Indeed.
Amen.
That is.
Amen.
And the important thing that, based on the last caller's comments, is that forgiveness, some people have had some majorly evil things done against them.
Yes.
Majorly evil things
yes.
done against them. And forgiveness seems impossible.
Yes, my God.
In many cases, it is. But through Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts, we receive if we lift up our gates, which the head is considered the gate, you lift up your head, Lord, you lift up your eyes to the Lord and say, Jesus, Lord, come into my life. Change me.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit will come in and make a home in your heart and soften your heart and reveal to you those things that you are able to accept. Mm. And his time, remember, that forgiveness comes, it doesn't have to come overnight.
Right.
It comes. And I know we're kind of getting into another topic. It's a whole teaching. But we go where the Holy Spirit leads us. And I will say that when that unforgiveness festers, it comes out and it plays out bitterness in our hearts and it causes illness and it causes these things to happen. But the Holy Spirit, we say, but God. This person did this to you, but God. You know, they meant this for harm, but God meant it for good. You know, so we can when we release that person through forgiveness, We release that person. We release bitterness as well. Mm-hmm. We release those things that cause illness. And the way that we do it is we take it to the cross.
Amen.
We take it to God. Jesus already was crucified. And when the enemy comes in as a flood, remember what God said, when an enemy comes in as a flood, he would raise up a standard. He would raise up a standard, and that standard was Jesus Christ on the cross. He raised up a standard. So you can go to that standard. When you feel overwhelmed, you feel those things not allowing you to think and hear the voice of God in your life, you can go to the cross and nail it to the cross.
Jesus.
Say, Jesus died for this very reason, for me, so that I may live again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can I say something? Can I give a quick testimony about what you just said?
Yes. We overcome by our testimonies. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. For so long, you know, sometimes you feel, I was feeling down, and I would feel like, oh, boy, you know, I'm saved for a long, long time. But it was still this small thing that says, I'm not satisfied. I'm not, I know I'm saved, but, oh, I still got this little thing that I'm feeling that's not right, like dread, broad, you know, like dread.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was one day, and I said, Lord, you know, he said there's no more condemnation. And I had to tell myself that I just had to say, and not even from myself. And I prayed and asked God, Lord, to forgive me for condemning myself. And I'm telling you, that has set me free. I don't wake up with that knowing I'm blessed and, you know, and everything, but still have that thing. You know, I can understand what the scripture that says that I can prosper and be in good health even as my soul prospers. I mm-hmm. praise God for that, delivering me from that condemnation. Even to myself, this is when I was praying, and then, you know, like I said, the Lord just gave it to me to say, and to remind me that I have even been forgiven for the condemnation against myself. And once I said it, he made me realize what was going on. But talking about freedom, I don't have that thing no more. You know,
Amen.
I would wake up, and it would be that little dread feeling, and it's not there anymore. And I thank God for that deliverance.
Amen.
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 And remember,
praise God.
And that's a perfect mm-hmm. example of as how these things spring up, okay? You know, Jesus did it once and for all. And these things, that's why he tells us to take up our cross daily. Take it up daily. Meaning take whatever it is that springs up, that bitterness thing that will spring up. Take it to the cross. If it springs up twice in a day, you take it to the cross twice in that day.
Amen.
He died for all.
Amen.
He was it once for all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have more comments from 216. I see someone just entered the queue. 216.
Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Do you have a comment for us?
Yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, forgiveness and even judgment for that matter. But, you know, being Christians, we have to look at the example that Christ set, you know. And while he was here on earth and doing his Father's will, you know, he was spit on, was slandered, was physically, mentally mistreated, you know, but he went to the cross with forgiveness and non-judgment, you know, and we're supposed to do the same thing, being Christ-like, being Christian.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's quite a challenge as we go through life because we have people who do stuff to us, and a lot of times we feel we have to seek our own justice. But we have to remember that's not the way.
Right. Very, very good points. Very good points.
Amen.
Very good points tonight. I'm blessed to be here. I'm being blessed by you. I came to bless you guys, and I'm being blessed through you.
Well, you
Amen.
Sure blessing us.
You sure are.
You're blessing us.
Wow.
Now, this message will be in our archives on Blog Talk Radio on the computer, and the message can be downloaded. Most of our callers, in fact, listen to the messages after the broadcast, and the archive numbers are growing exponentially. So if you feel that you want to hear it again or you want to share this message with someone, just share it with them on Facebook, email, or give them the link so that they can find it themselves on the Blog Talk Radio under New Beginnings Ministry. Back to you, Brother James.
Amen, amen. Yes, indeed. Now, a perfect example of the Bitterroot expectancies that we're talking about now. Remember, we for those that just called in or possibly just chimed in and did not hear the beginning part of the message, we're talking about Bitterroot tracing from fruit to root. And the fruit are the things, the cycles, the bad things that you see happening, the things that you don't like, the things that make you say, you know what, I don't want to go to work today, or you know what, I don't want to deal with that person today. Those things that are happening, the crime, all of the bad things that you see, those are the bad fruits. And what Christ teaches us is that whoever manifests bitter fruit, okay, if we see bitter fruit, there is a bitter root somewhere in their heart. There's something that happened in their lives that is causing that fruit to show. It could be anything from the demeanor of a person that's a negative demeanor in their lives that you see at work, that you see at home in your family. Because Jesus tells us that in Luke 6, 43 to 44, and again, I'm reading from the NAS version, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruits, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit." Remember, you will know them by their fruit. Okay, I'll continue on. "For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush." Which goes a little bit further, this particular one here, the things of the world where they talk about evolution and things of that nature, tells us right here that each one produces after its own kind.
That's right.
After its own kind. So a good tree is not going to produce bad fruit unless it's taking up something from a bad root. And then in that case, would be bad fruit, not good fruit. So we are nurtured just like these trees from our roots. And if your root is in Christ, you will receive nourishment from Christ. If your root is in anything other than Christ, you receive the root or the nourishment or the lack thereof from that thing that you've put in the place of Christ in your life. Okay. Now, in terms of bitter root expectancies, again, these things are happening, and they sowing most often happens in relationships, to parents and spouses. Just to recap, other primary people during our foundational years, such as grandparents and uncles, aunts, nieces, those people that have kind of like a leadership over us, there's a leadership role in our lives, who did not know these things. Okay, it's easy to blame, but remember, as we blame, that's a judgment, and we cause those things to happen in our own lives. So that's why it's so important not to judge. Those who impact our lives at impressionable age, such as babysitters, school teachers, also, again, they can affect the expectancies or judgments that we make. A traumatic event. Can affect that. Something such as a car accident in the early driving years can cause a person to live in fear of driving. Again, the bitter root is that accident that happened. They may have blamed themselves. They may have just established fear. And remember, God is not the author of fear in our life. That is not the spirit that comes from God. God gives us a spirit of truth and of light. and of a sound mind. So what happens is these bitter expectancies, as we play them over, remember, they work and operate in the psychological range or realm. And these things we play in our minds, and we keep saying these things. And we know that the power of life and death exists in the tongue. So we can speak life into our lives, into the lives of other people, or we can speak death by what we say. This is why it's so very important to discern and judge discern the types of music that you listen to. Because
Amen.
The question is the message. Words are power. So if the message that is being transmitted is telling us giving us bitter root judgments and repeating bitter root expectancies, okay, this is going to cause these things to play out in our lives. It's going to cause us to believe them, and it causes us to believe lies instead of God's truth. Again, God's truth, it tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. So if we believe the lie, we're not believing the truth. You can't do both. And I'll give you an example right now of a real-life experience where a bitter judgment and expectancy was at work. And you guys listen closely and see if you can identify what's really at work here, and I'll definitely make it clear for you after I finish. It says, it's talking about a person, two people, Bert and Martha, okay? When Bert and Martha met, Martha was a slim and beautiful girl. They fell in love and married. In a little while, Martha became pregnant. As she grew in size, so did Bert's difficulty in terms of his being able to appreciate her and compliment her. And after delivery, it took a while for Martha to lose the weight. So Bert became increasingly upset and critical. Bert now was sure he had married someone like his mother, though he couldn't have consciously admitted that inner realization. He found himself increasingly critical and scolding of her. But that was, of course, what Martha already expected would happen. Under attack, she became agitated and insecure, so she ate more for comfort and grew heavier. As Bert became angrier and more critical, she became more and more upset, more nervous, more hungry, and fatter. All this affected her ability to keep herself and her house neat. Their judgments and reactions spun to more and more painful levels until at last she was living with an angry demon and he was living with a blimp. Bert thought that the problem was pure and simple. Martha was too fat, and he couldn't stand it. Martha felt awful about herself, but claimed it wouldn't be so hard to get the fat off if Bert would just quit criticizing her all the time. A few minutes of questioning revealed some root causes. So the fruit and the root is what we're looking at here. So a few minutes of questioning revealed some root causes. Bert had grown up with a mother who not only became obese, but she was sloppy. She failed to care for her appearance. The house was poorly kept. She would use the toilet with the door open and the children running in and out. Bert judged his mother for her appearance and her habits. So in this case, we see quickly that there was something that was an underlying cause for what he was doing. His bitter root judgment and consequent expectancy was that his wife would become obese and slovenly. So not only did he judge his mother, but he had a bitter root expectation. Since Bert had judged his mother for obesity, he was due to reap obesity. Who would be a more likely person through whom to reap this than his wife? His judgment helped first to draw to him a woman who was likely to have weight problems, then it pushed Martha to gain weight. Again, defiled her. His necessity to reap what he had sown was therefore returning to him like a mighty wind. And for Martha, that was like standing in a 100-mile-an-hour gale, pushing her to fulfill his legal requirement by gaining weight. But Martha had her own set of judgments, which first drew her to marry a man who was likely to criticize her and then pushed him to do so. Her seed sown ripened and was reaped through birth. Martha had grown up with a father who she could never please. No matter what she tried to do, he always found something to criticize. At least that was her perception. Whether her father was actually that critical was not what was important to me as a counselor. What was crucial was that she had judged her father. Since she could not honor her father in that area, life would not go well for her in all similar aspects of her life. And that's Deuteronomy 5:16, which I'll have you read in just a moment. Her bitter root judgment and expectancy was that the man of her life would always be critical of her. She would never be acceptable or be able to be pleasing to her man. Now, the questions that you should ask yourself is, what were some of the judgments that Bert formed? Another question would be, what were some of the expectancies that Bert formed? And finally, what were some of the judgments that Martha made? And what were some of the expectancies that Martha formed? And it's important to remember that Satan knows our past. He knows every time we break a biblical law of God. He's a prosecuting attorney. He's legalistic, and he does not play fair. And remember, it's important to remember that we live in a fallen world. But it's important to know that we can take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world, and he broke the cycle. So that's the reason for our teaching tonight, is to break the cycle and understand these things. Can you read Deuteronomy 5:16?
Sure. Let me turn to it.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 5:16 reads in the Living Bible, honor your father and mother. Remember, this is a commandment of the Lord your God. If you do so, you shall have a long, prosperous life in the land he is giving you.
Amen. Amen. So what that interprets to in terms of layman terms is that wherever we have dishonored our parents, it will not go well with us. So whatever part in our childhood, coming up into adult life, where we've dishonored our parents, and this is a law, where we've dishonored our parents, it will not go well for us in that area. So if we've judged our parents in any aspect, oh, they didn't buy us enough clothes, oh, they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, wherever we've dishonored them, we're doomed to repeat that in our lives. So this is the root of what we call generational curses. These are things that are being passed down from generation to generation, parent to child, grandparent to parent. To child, and then that child to the other and third and fourth generation. This is how these things are being passed down. Now, keep in mind that what God said stands, that each one who sins is responsible for their own sin. So generational curses, though, it goes beyond what our normal thinking is, because we are judging and we are making judgments based on what we see happening around us. And because we are developing people in a fallen world, we're subject to these things. And the enemies have nothing else to do but to play on these things in our lives. So this is why it's very important to take these things and take them to the cross quickly. Don't let them fester overnight, not for a day. Take them to the cross. Take them to the cross, for Jesus died for these very reasons, and we can break the chain and the cycle of these things.
Amen.
So,
Amen. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna continue on that, but you can go ahead and ask the question.
One of the things that I see just from your teaching, and oftentimes the Lord will give me a vision, is that when you're in an airplane and how they show you the routine at the beginning of the seatbelts and how the oxygen mask will drop from the overhead, and that if you're riding with a child, to make sure to put your oxygen mask on first and then the child. Well, when we hear teaching like this, oftentimes we point at other people or say, yeah, my mother did this or my father did this, or I can see that in my child. But what we as receivers of this word tonight, I would be pleased and hope that we would see it as what we can do for ourselves, like speaking life to ourselves, asking the Lord to reveal the deep woundings that we may have in our heart, to illuminate those so that we can deal with those, that we should pray and that we should forgive. If there be anyone, any unforgiveness in our hearts, that we forgive so that we can be completely set free. And then by doing so, change that family line, change that break some of those generational curses so that we can pray over and for our children and our children's children, and to be also to be forgiving of our parents. We have to remember, too, that hurting people hurt people, and I know that's a psychology term or counseling term, but hurting people do hurt people. But I also believe that people who know better do better, and that because we sit under good word and we're hearing this word tonight, we're coming to a place of understanding, of knowing and understanding, and when we know and we understand, the expectation is that we will do better.
Amen. 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 So receive this teaching, fellow brethren, or Yadarim, as they say in Hebrew. Because you are beloved by God, and every person that's within the sounding of my voice is ordained to be here and to hear this message, and God will even ordain those to come back that need to be fed once again, and those that are within my voice know that there's hope, and that as long as you receive not just the knowledge, but most of all get the understanding of God's word, it will speak to you in a very different way than you'll ever get just by memorizing scripture or doing other things. These are words of life. God is our Father. Just as for those that have had earthly fathers, or those that still do have earthly fathers, their earthly fathers and parents are not perfect. But it's important that if we have made any judgments against them, that we take it to the cross and we crucify it at the cross. We have to do these things. Let me give you an example of how the sowing and reaping process goes. I know that we've kind of touched on a lot of things, but it's important to understand sin. Sin is basically missing the mark. God tells us the perfect way to live. We're not perfect because we're growing up in an imperfect society, and sometimes at those very early ages we want to venture off and do things our own way. But God welcomes us back, and it's important to come back and receive the blessings that He has for us. Believe His promises, because He cannot lie. He cannot lie. So mankind's sinning is like if I was to put it into a word picture, it's like a man who throws a ball against the wall. I don't know if anybody's ever played handball, but you throw the ball against the wall, and what happens? That ball comes back. And at some point, that ball will return to him. And that is based on, in terms of our lives, what we do comes back. And like God said, do not be deceived, that he will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. The important thing to know here, though, and that was in Galatians 6:7, the important thing to know here is that the longer our sin goes unrepented, and this is what in terms of Newton's law of for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, what it does not capture, and this is why it's so important to go to the Word and get the truth, not just a portion of the truth or a scientific version of the truth, but to get the whole truth and nothing but the truth, as they say. The reason why it's so important to go into the Word and receive the full truth, the full awareness, the full awakening, so we can break these cycles in our lives and receive the true goodness that we deserve and that was promised to us, but actually not even deserved, that was promised to us even though we sin. It's still promised. God still holds up the Word for us. It's important for us to understand these things. So the longer we wait and say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll forgive tomorrow, the longer we wait, that thing that we press down in our hearts, and the reason, I don't know, there's some sort of vindication that we get by holding on to these things, and we're holding it rather than holding on to God, and what happens is it causes a wedge between us and God. Mm-hmm. And the longer we wait, the harder it seems to get. But the other thing that happens is when we wait to go to the cross and repent and say, God, forgive me, I know I'm not perfect, forgive me for this, help me to overcome this. The reason why it's important is because of what we read in Hosea 8:7, and what it says there is that, for they sow the wind, yet reap the whirlwind. Mm. Standing no heads, it yields no grain.
Mm-hmm.
Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. Okay, so what happens, what that means is that if we don't repent or we let it fester and go on and on and on, it's like sowing the wind. It's like throwing your seeds into the wind, okay? But what happens in this case is that sin, it goes out, and it doesn't come back as an equal and opposite reaction. It grows. By the time the sin returns to us and we really reap it, it becomes, it's overwhelming in terms of proportion.
And
it's,
you know,
sort of like you hear about when you have a person that, say, for instance, in ministry that has sexual sin in their lives, or a person even in the government. Take, for instance, the presidential situation with President Clinton. When what happens is when you press it down and it festers and it's going on and it festers, when it comes back, when it finally comes back and it's conceived and it's fullness, what does James 1:15 tell us? It tells us, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. In the case of it playing out and what we can see, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight, but in this case, for the sake of our discussion, when we see this play out in life, it started out as a small thing, maybe a gesture.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're out of time, but I'd like to invite you back to finish this discussion. We still have some more callers that are in the queue that have questions. So if you would be willing, I'd like to schedule you to be on the show again and bring this message forth. And I'd also like to hear your message on honor.
Yes, yes. I'd be pleased to do that. I definitely would like to make sure that everyone gets their healing in this. And I would be pleased to do so.
Thank you so much. If you have, do you have a contact number, or if someone wanted to talk to you personally, or do you minister over the phone or the internet or anything?
Yeah, you can actually post my email, and I can respond. And if there's personal prayer that's needed, I can definitely direct the caller in prayer. Also, to get a full teaching and the fullness of these types of teachings, if you live in the New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, you can actually go to contact Calvary Temple in Wayne, Calvary Temple International in Wayne, and you can actually take the full-blown course which will renew your mind and your heart and really get to give you the teaching to its fullness. But I would like to, of course, pray with all the callers regarding dealing with and taking these things to death on the cross.
We have 10 seconds.
Okay. Dear Jehovah Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your awareness and your awakening. Lord God, we ask that you will bless every person, that the enemy will not steal any of this joy, any of your seed from their hearts and their minds. Bless them and cover them and hide them in the shadow of your wings, that the enemy will not attack and hide us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We look forward to hearing from everyone next week. Thank you so much for the teaching. I will be speaking with you, Brother James, on scheduling your next broadcast with us. Thank you again, and everyone, have a good night. Sweet sleep in the arms of Jesus. Amen, amen.
In a crowded room, cornered by the questions in my mind, it's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had